So, if you don't mind, I want to start on my metaphorical soapbox here. I want to vent a little. I've got a pet peeve, and if you're looking at this, you might be able to guess what it is. I really hate the term social media wizard or social media guru or social media rock star, whatever it might be. And the reason I dislike it is because it trivializes everything we do. I don't think I need to explain to anyone in this room how important social media is and how important it is to a company. But I work with companies every day, twice a day, sometimes three or four times a day. And I see people use those terms, and the problem I have with it is I don't think the social media guru gets the raise. I don't think the social media wizard gets the promotion. And I think there is no one better poised to become a future CMO, to become a future CCO, than people who run social media. We are the ones that are communicating, we're marketing, we're showing photos, we're creating digital graphics, we're talking to our audience every single day. And I cannot imagine a better person to get promoted, to become the head of marketing, to become the head of communications, than someone who starts in social media. And I'm confident that this room is full of these people, and that I think a rising tide raises all ships. So if we're making better social media, if we're not being called by these terms, I think that we stand out and we're next in line to get the promotion. That's my soapbox. Get to go back one slide. So one thing I want to share too is the reason I did that. I am unbelievably passionate about social media. And I want to share something. I didn't realize when I was making this presentation that I'd be following WeWork. And the reason that stands out, the CEO, the founder, his name's Adam Neumann. I was lucky enough to interview him. It's for a segment we did where it was 10 seconds of advice. And the advice that he shared was never take no for an answer. I was able to ask him what he meant by that, because it sounds kind of cliche when you hear it like that. And he said, you know what that really means is don't let any roadblocks stand in your way. And so when we're trying to figure out what's great content, when we're trying to put together a social media marketing plan that we know is great, and someone's telling us no, or that we don't deserve that promotion, we don't deserve that raise, those are the roadblocks that he's talking about and the roadblocks that we need to overcome. So I wanted to share that little anecdote that I didn't expect to share. So the New York Stock Exchange, I just kind of jumped right into it with my pet peeve, sorry. So I head up all the social media for the New York Stock Exchange, and we have a very unique content problem. We have too much of it. There is such an insane amount of content. We have companies coming in. We have VIPs, world leaders. It's too much. It is too much. But the problem is, and also, we have an opening bell and a closing bell every single day. The issue is it's so redundant. You can see this. On Monday, maybe this is an interesting post. Tuesday, less interesting. Wednesday, you're bored. Thursday, you're ignoring it. Friday, you're probably unfollowing us. And so what we had to do is come up with a solution. And during this talk, I'm going to talk exclusively about Instagram. But you can apply this to anything. But this is how we kind of really built our Instagram. And our solution was consistent, but never redundant. And I think this is very important because consistency is key to building an audience that knows what to expect, that follows you for a specific reason, but you also don't want to be redundant and bore them and get them to unfollow you because you're not showing them anything new. So for us, how do we show bells in a way that is consistent but not redundant? So what we do is we really go for emotion because the emotion on all three of these different pictures is different. It's not redundant. Right here on the left, you can see that just from this picture, this is a company called Elastic. You can see just from this picture that the CEO is a little more casual. You can tell just by the picture how important his family is to him. You go to the middle one, you can tell that's a brand that has a very passionate group of people working for him. They're all wearing bright orange blazers. And you can tell how excited he is to list his company to be public. And on the right, you can see Kobe Bryant. He came in to ring the bell. I'm going to go back one, but I could use that picture with Kobe Bryant. I'd rather show what he looks like as a businessman, because this was what he did right after he'd retired and got into investing. So we try to aim for consistency, but never redundancy. But even if all we're showing is bells, Bells get redundant. So we've got to figure out what we can do outside of bells. And I want to caveat this a little bit. I'm trying, when I was putting this together, I wanted to put together stuff that would be applicable to anybody, to anyone creating content, anyone doing social media, digital marketing. The problem is every company is unique. Every brand's different. What works for us might not work for you. So I'm trying to put up, to show the specifics of what we do, but then to take a step back and say, here's how you could apply it to what you're doing. And so for us, it started with regular social segments. And none of these are groundbreaking. You even see the left one, Flashback Friday. So what we wanted to do was figure out, all right, on Sundays, on Saturdays, we don't really have any content. There's no bells, there's no one coming in, there's no one at work. How do we start filling out content on the weekends? And then Flashback Friday was a natural one because we had so much history. It's a 226-year-old exchange, and we have a historian, all this beautiful content. And so what I did was I challenged myself, how am I going to come up with enough for content every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday? Because also, our customers are on social media at that time. A lot of companies go quiet on the weekends. We did not want to do that. We wanted to have a consistent presence every day. That every day I talked like I was going to say something more. So for Flashback Friday, we go to our historian and we get really great content that does amazing. And like I said, this is nothing groundbreaking right here. But what we did is found something that's on social that works amazing for us. So we co-opted it, we use it, we post it, and this is unbelievably easy. Once we make the decision to do Flashback Friday, it's just one afternoon coming up with all this content, scheduling it, and you're done. One other thing we did was we started curating content. So I go out and I look for people who are taking amazing photos. It started with amazing photos of the New York Stock Exchange. I got bored with it. I assume if I'm bored, my audience is bored. And so then I started thinking, well, how can I use content that shows that the New York Stock Exchange is part of New York City, that you can't have one without the other? So it became this mission for me to find helicopter shots and these great aerial shots. And now, this is our best performing content. This has gotten us thousands of followers, gets us an insane amount of engagement, and I'm able to work with these amazing photographers that love seeing their stuff up. It took 4 years for me to realize that this is content that would perform well on our social channels. But now that we have it, like I said, it is one of the best pieces of content, regular content, that we have. And how this all started when we were looking for social segments was what we call Stock Certificate Sunday. Like I said, we had nothing going on Sundays. We had all these beautiful stock certificates. How do we display them? And when we started displaying them and started showing them, it was our most popular social segment that we did. And it was like most popular social content that we posted on a regular basis. It was beating bells, it was beating everything else. Now that we've fine-tuned everything, this is actually some of our lower performing content. But I think that is a testament to how much we're continually trying to figure out what works, what does our audience respond to, what is getting engagement, and always making it better. The other thing that we do, so that takes care of Friday, one post, and then Saturday and Sunday. But like I said, we're posting bells. We have VIPs that come in. We have all this stuff. And again, this is nothing groundbreaking, saying, hey, post a photo, post a video, post a boomerang, switch up your style of content. What I want to stress here is how to use photos to stress your content. If you don't know how to take a great photo, tonight, tomorrow, this weekend, start watching YouTube on videos. Start watching videos on YouTube. Learn about the rule of thirds. Learn about lighting. Learn about balance, all this stuff, because the photos that are amazing, even if you don't take pictures for your own social media, you'll be able to articulate to your photographer, or when you get a stock photo, you'll know what to look for by understanding the language and understanding what works well. And also, there's maybe a slight brag, all these photos right here on the left, I took every one of these because we have a photographer, but our photographer's job is to take pictures of listed companies. And it's not to capture stuff like this. So if I go out at lunch, I can go take this photo and this photo because I've understood depth and I've looked at this stuff and I've also tested this for 4 years. I know what our audience relates to. I can go, there's a spot on Wall Street, I can stand, take this picture, it's gonna get 2,000 likes every time. And that's because I've got the know-how, I've taken the time, and I'm passionate about this. learning how to get great photos. The other thing we have, oh, that plays, that's nice. So let's go right to Boomerang since it plays. We have these banners that go up on the facade. We have an amazing videographer. Takes the videos. He did the slow motion thing where it goes up. It's stunning. We have 2 or 3 IPOs a week. So again, it's that same problem with when someone rings a bell. You see it the first time, it's interesting. By the 100th time, you couldn't care less. So how do we do it and make it interesting? The average one of those videos that we did was maybe 4,000 or 5,000 views. That one, I don't know if you can read it, is 14,000 just because we turned it into a boomerang. It was by taking consistent content and repurposing it in a way that isn't redundant, gets us more views, gets us more likes, gets us more engagement. And then similarly, we try to do cool, unique videos with companies. We're very lucky that we have all these partners, and this is one of them, and I'll hit play for a second. We don't really have to watch the whole thing. But this was a Monday where we didn't have anything to do, so we went down to Casper, who has a new dreamery, and we filmed a bunch of stuff. And if you're thinking, well, I don't have the graphics to do that, and I don't have the video person to do that, I didn't either at first. I literally would do this stuff by taking my phone, learning how to add captions on it, doing stories, and they were well received enough that it was able to be like, all right, we've got other resources, we're going to allocate to that. Yeah, we'll send our video guy to go film you taking a nap. And by being convicted in what you think is good content, even if you don't have the best tools, go for it, get it, show the results, because that's the stuff that's going to lead you to getting those resources if you don't currently have them. So the other reason I want to talk about Instagram is posting is only half the story, because you also have stories. And I love stories. That is my favorite way to use social media. And I'm completely biased. It is because there's no better way to show what happens in our building on a day-to-day basis than the story function. Because there is so much, like I said, it's an embarrassment of riches. There's so much content. So I can't post on Twitter 30 times, and I can't post 30 Instagram posts. And also, when you do it individually, you're losing part of that story. It's one linear, continuous story that works so well for us. So when they first came out on Snapchat, we adopted it right away, and we used it, and we fine-tuned it over the past 2-3 years. And another reason I like this is because it forces you to be a jack of all trades. I swear, when I made this, it was spaced differently. And I didn't do that with Boomerang either. But you have to be a great photographer. You have to understand graphic design. You have to be a cinematographer. You have to be a writer. You have to host. Literally, it's me with a microphone hosting what's going on. You have to know special effects. And it sounds stupid, but showing something in reverse as opposed to forward is going to get you 30,000 more views or something. It's worth knowing. Even little silly things. When we go to a conference, I'll start out, I don't have my phone on me. But if this is my phone, I start on my phone and go, hey, we're in New York City, cover it with my hand, let go, boom, we're in Aspen at this conference. It's a silly thing, but it works. It's great. And so understanding all these little tricks that you can do really increases the engagement of your story. You have to know how to create great video. You have to be an actor sometimes. You have to be a director. Tell other people what to do. And I'll leave this up for a second. By the way, if anyone wants this, I'm happy to email or share anyone this presentation. So for us, this consistent but never redundant really started with our stories on Snapchat that we then just started using on Instagram stories. So one of the first things we did is we started a segment called Chatting with Cheddar. For those of you who don't know, Cheddar is like a CNBC type program. It's on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. It's geared towards millennials, so it was kind of perfect for us. And so when we do it, it's the same filter every time. It's kind of the same segment. We're walking on the floor. I'm holding it. My job is literally to hold a camera. The woman on the right, her name's Kristen. She's the lead anchor. She has all the stuff prepared, and I literally hold a camera. I introduce her, hold the camera, and it is one of our most popular segments. We get people that go on Twitter to talk about it, that reach out and say, hey, why isn't Snapchat doing this stuff? Why aren't they putting this stuff in my feed? And this didn't happen overnight. If you looked at Chatting with Cheddar 3 years ago, it was unrecognizable. It was just her sitting at a desk, kind of talking about what they were going to talk about today. So, and the reason I bring that up is you have to constantly be evolving. The social media works in a way that as soon as it's cool, as soon as it's a great idea, everyone else is doing it. And as soon as everyone else is doing it, everyone in your audience is bored with it. So you've got to constantly be reimagining yourself and figuring out how to make stuff better. And this turned in from, like I said, someone sitting on a table holding it themselves to walking around the floor of the New York Stock Exchange with traders yelling behind you, talking about what the Tesla stock's doing, and really doing stuff that resonated with our audience. And something I want to bring up too. This filter right here is the filter we bought on Snapchat. So we film it on Snapchat, swipe the filter on, and we bought this for the year. This is something that cost us, I think, $1,000. It's not a very expensive thing, and it is immensely effective for anyone who's watching this, and they know instantly what's going to happen here. They're not going to watch this and think, oh, I wonder, are they going to show the bell? Are they going to interview someone? No, they know exactly what this is, and it's the same with this right here. So another segment we have is 60 Seconds With. And we called it this because we have CEOs coming in, but we also have athletes and world leaders and fashion icons and whoever it might be. So we couldn't call it 60 Seconds With the CEO, but we left it vague enough. And if you notice here, you've got a little thing for name, company, title. This is blank. So you can fill it in after the fact whenever you want. Because the problem we had to solve for, all right, we've got all these amazing people coming in, but what do we do about it? We used to take pictures. That's kind of boring. And then we used to get them on video saying, I'm so excited to be on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Again, see that twice? Kind of boring. So we started 60-second interviews. We're able to ask career advice. You're able to ask, what's your favorite book? What do you want? What do you look for when you're hiring someone? And you can see that we run the gamut. So we have this segment that's very consistent, 60 seconds, VIP, but they're all different people with all different ideas and all different opinions that are giving different advice. One thing else we do is we try to stay basic. We try to stay consistent by making sure that we have font on the screen that's easy to read. It sounds dumb, but I can't tell you how many stories I see where there's all these different fonts, and this is like a basic graphic design. That's why it's important to know all the basics of graphic design, the basics of photography, because if you have too much stuff on there, it's impossible to read. They're just going to swipe on through to the next story. If we confuse our audience, we lose our audience, and so I want to make it as easy as it is, easy as possible for them to read what we're doing and to follow what we're doing. Something similar is, by the way, if this was today or yesterday, I don't know if anyone follows the market, it would have been a lot more red, but I made this 2 days ago, so it's green. We give market updates, but again, you want to show the same, but you know, a market update's kind of redundant, so how do you show a market update? And it's by taking different pictures. This is literally a screen that's probably 10 feet on the air. That one on the right, I'm laying on my back on the floor of the stock exchange in a suit to get that picture, because that picture means that much to me. And this one right here on the left is I'm standing on a chair with my arm as high as I possibly can to get it because I want to show these screens in unique ways. It's one screen, you know, I mean, it has the same information. So to do it, you've got to think about how do I show, even if you're photographing the same thing every day, how do you get it from different angles? How do you get it from different perspectives? How do you make it so that it feels consistent but not redundant? The other thing that we do is we're very linear. We want to make sure that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And if you look here, so this is a recent IPO we had. For those of you who don't know, IPO is initial public offering. It's when a company goes from private to public. It's a big hoopla for our world. And so what we do is we start everyone with an establishing shot. This is no different than if you're watching a sitcom and you see the exterior of the house before they cut to the house. I want my audience to know, oh, something's going on, and it's something with Farfetch. And then normally what'll happen is I didn't include the text on this because I wanted these images, but I'll either include on text what this company does, how much they're raising, what the stock price they're looking to open at. Next thing we do is a little behind the scenes. There's a ceremony before the bell. So I want to show that CEO. So again, I'll introduce a CEO at that point because that is really the star of the day. I want to say, this is the CEO of Farfetch. Here's what he's doing. We have some ceremonial stuff, so they sign a book. On the way right, I try to walk out onto the podium of the New York Stock Exchange when the crowd's all there, they're all excited, to give you a first-person look at what it's like to take a company public. And then we come here, so I run back down, get a picture of the opening bell, and this is where why I wanted to show boomerang versus video versus photo, because this is something we're always going to do. You know, these are kind of like chapters in a book. We might take out a chapter here and there, but the story is going to be about the same. But one of the things we're always going to include is a shot of the bell itself. But maybe it's a black and white photo, maybe it's a video, maybe it's a boomerang. That's the stuff that we want to switch up so that we don't bore our audience. And then similarly, what you see next is what's called price discovery. That's when, if you've ever seen a movie about Wall Street, when they're all yelling, that's what they're doing. And sometimes it's this process called price discovery. Sometimes I'll get on and explain, sometimes I won't. But again, that's like kind of take out a chapter, bring in a chapter, but we want to show this excitement. Then you have the moment that the stock officially opens. So you've got this, this is the really emotional thing. That's when you get the, you know, the CEOs cheering and, you know, they're now millionaires or billionaires, or whatever it is. We're trying to capture that moment. So that's the climax of the whole story. And then last, we end on kind of the resolution. This is the stock, this is the screen that it's trading on, and now it's an officially listed company. So one other thing we try to do is we want to be consistent. We want to post content every day of the week. So we save stuff like this for the weekends. So this isn't the entire story, but it's part of it. And this is a company that's listed on the New York Stock Exchange, so we always like working with those companies and highlighting those companies, which, by the way, take out your phone right now and follow HubSpot if you don't. If you do any social media, they are a phenomenal follow. If you had to choose between, if you had to choose between New York Stock Exchange and HubSpot, follow HubSpot. Follow both, but follow HubSpot. And so we do this stuff on weekends because we want to have that consistent story. Because what we found was that if we got people in the habit of watching our stories, they always watched them. We won't post a story, and I'll get messages that are like, where's your story today? Or if we have a celebrity and I take a photo of them but don't interview them, I get the, why didn't you do 60 seconds? If I have to go on vacation and can't do the chatting with Cheddar, I get the, thank God you're back. I didn't know what was going on in the market. We've made it a habit for people to watch our stories every single day. And it has made a phenomenal difference. After I was reviewing these slides last night, and I realized my presentation was why and how to create consistent content, I never did the why. This is all just how. The why is because we probably started our Instagram 4 years ago and probably got serious about it 2 years ago. It took us 45 months to get 100,000 followers, and it took us 2 months to get the next 30,000 followers. We're right now at a clip of getting 3,000 to 4,000 followers a week. We get well over 1 million impressions a week because we have dedicated segments that we do, because we are that comforting, reassuring, consistent thing in the person's Instagram timeline. So the reason to do it is it works. We've got brand advocates that we didn't have. We've got reach that we didn't have. And why this is important to us is our audience actually isn't a retail investor, isn't Joe Schmo investor. It's CEOs, it's CFOs. And so we want to make sure that when they come and look at, oh, should I list you? We can say, oh, you're whatever company. Do you want to reach a million people? Do you want to reach this amount of people? Come list with us. We'll do an amazing story. We'll really highlight you. And we've got an audience that really cares what you have to say. So that's why we do this. And I think I jumped myself here, but the reason why so on Monday, we might do a chat with Cheddar. On Tuesday, it's going to be an interview with someone. On Wednesday, we're going to go to the Casper App Store. On Thursday, we're going to show an opening bell. Friday, it's going to be an IPO. Saturday, it's going to be follow HubSpot. And Sunday, which also looks like it's Monday here. But it's a meme about being excited that the market's open again. And doing all this stuff has 100% taken our following that was going like this to this. It was like rocket fuel to it. And it took us a while. So it's one of those things. You can't do it and expect to see it in a week or a month or maybe even a year. But it took us probably 20 months of doing this consistently and constantly getting better at it and reinventing it that we actually finally saw the success that we were looking for. So if you're thinking, great, this is just let me interview Mr. Wonderful every day and I'll have great content like you. I challenge myself with everything here. Challenge yourself to come up with daily content. Maybe you don't post it, but figure out what you can do to create content every day. Figure out how you come up with different types of content. What are the different segments that you guys, that anyone could do, or not anyone, but that are specific to your company? Stock Certificate Sunday is only working for us, but there's something like that for every company, depending on what it is. Learn those camera tricks. Figure out, social segments, redundant. But again, learn the design. Learn the basics of graphic design. If you understand why fonts go together and why colors go together, your stories are going to be more effective at communicating what it is that you're trying to communicate. learn how to take stunning photos because those are what gets like, those are what get likes on social media, on Instagram, and that's what gets you more impressions, gets you more followers. For us, being on camera was important. We decided early on that we needed a host. These are some of these times, you know, these can be complex financial terms, and it was easier for someone just to go on and say, here's what an IPO is. And so if that makes sense for your company, if you've got something where you need someone to explain stuff, and I always try to say, I dumb it down to the lowest possible audience because I think there's this misconception that everyone wants all this expert stuff. I think if you can level set information, you can build up to that stuff, but always assume that your audience wants to know what's going on and wants it said in plain language. Getting different kinds of content that's creative, curating great content. Figure out what kind of photos you could be taking. One of my favorite examples is Allbirds. I just came across it 3 or 4 days ago. They posted a picture on their Instagram of this pink lake. I want to say it's in New Zealand or Australia or something. Nothing to do with shoes, right? But they were able to curate that content because they said, this is the inspiration for our new line of shoes. This is the color inspiration. So they're able to take really stunning photos that get a lot of likes and apply it to their own brand. There is a 100% chance that all of us can do that no matter what the brand is. Another thing I love to do, follow great accounts. That's why I was pushing HubSpot. Everything I do, I try not to follow accounts, and well, I don't try not to follow, but I don't get inspiration from accounts in my industry. Because getting inspiration from them only means I'm gonna do what they're doing. I follow artists, I follow news outlets, I follow lifestyle brands. I try to take what other industries are doing and apply it to my own industry. And then last, fun, sounds cliche, but the more fun I'm having is the more passionate I am. And the more passionate I am, it's because I've invested so much time in all this stuff, and it means so much to me. And that on a Sunday, I don't mind picking up my phone and posting about stupid stock certificates, because I've invested so much into this that I enjoy doing it, that I do this for, or would do it for free. So maybe I saved a few moments for questions. I didn't check the time. If not, we can just watch a Casper video.
Questions for Matt. And Matt, great. Let's give it up for Matt. Great job. I told you to stick around.
Quick question on the curated content.
Yeah.
What do you find is the best way to get permission to use somebody else's image, especially if you're dealing with an image that's being posted by another company or brand?
So another company or brand would be tough. I guess it depends if they're a competitor. For me, to use a term that the kids are using.
So we have a lot of partner companies that are producing a lot of content.
Uh-huh.
So I have different ways I'm trying to get to all of them.
I slide into their DMs. I'm like, my God, that is an amazing photo. We'd love to use it. We'd love to give you photo credit. I am batting 1,000. No one has ever said no. It sounds like
yeah,
you
I just wondered if you had experience with that and what you guys
and with us, with brands, we
the
have
the fastest,
it.
Easiest way to get that permission.
Yeah, slide into the DMs. Plus, if you have like a, you know, we're lucky enough to be verified, to get a message from a verified account out of the blue, I think is something that's kind of cool.
So I know you're using a lot of like Flashback Fridays and Stock Certificate Sundays, mm-hmm. but how has the algorithm on Instagram kind of affected your content strategy, knowing that might pop up on someone's feed on
yeah.
like a Tuesday?
I didn't always post the stunning photos, and I'm using stunning as a, you know, whatever adjective you want to use. But we tried to look for those, like, the photos that get people to stop scrolling. And that's why that first slide where you had kind of, you know, to be honest, it's usually a group of old white men, and it's kind of boring. And so we want to figure out how do we get these more interesting photos, and that's what dictated our strategy. Because if we post that, we get 2,000 likes. If we post the other one, we get 100 likes. And getting 100 likes means that 1/10 of the people saw it. And when 1/10 of the people saw it, it's like I'm shouting into the wind. What's the point? So I'd rather post something that people engage with. So I do. I follow the likes. I follow the engagement. I follow the impressions. And that means doing kind of that whole list of stuff I had on there. It's figuring out what makes for a great photo. By the way, all those are edited. Those weren't real photos. Those are fake clouds, fake all that stuff. It's do the stuff that I try to get the likes. I'll admit it.
Hi, very interesting. I admire how you can take a topic like this and make it so accessible.
Thank you.
So as far as Instagram stories go, I mean, in order to see them, people already need to be following you, right?
Correct, yeah, I believe so.
So when you say that you did it consistently for 20 months and it went up,
uh-huh.
what went up?
Our impressions. So I will say our follower, well, so here's what's gone up, is we've made people find us that don't follow us, I assume, through our posts. But then we get the people that consistently watch it. So if we have a, this is just my guess at how this algorithm works. So we have a dedicated, let's say it's 20% of the people that follow us watch our videos every day. My guess is Instagram goes, wow, that's a really high percentage. And so when we get a new follower, we're likely to be at the front of that story list than the back. So we get the new followers through those pictures of the sky. We get 1,000 new followers every time we post it. So someone who follows us new, then all of a sudden sees our story. And hopefully, with our first story that they watch, it's good enough that they want to watch tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And at the very least, we're going to try to be up there every single day.
So you talk a lot about hosting and working with kind of those CEOs and the different VIPs that you have come in. How do you get them to be comfortable on camera when they're usually more buttoned up?
So because it's a phone, it makes such a difference. We have like a whole, we used to actually do this. We actually have more formal interviews we do on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, where it's, we actually have a tripod and a microphone and stuff, but it's still a phone. We have a whole broadcast team. They would come, they'd mic us up like I am now. We'd have big cameras. It felt so stiff. It felt so uncomfortable. And one day they couldn't do it, so I said, screw it. I'm going to film it on my phone and see what happens. We got more engagement. It felt more intimate. They were looser. And so there's something disarming about a phone to say, you know, I come up with them and I go, hey, we're going to do this interview. It's 60 seconds. You're going to look at me, or you're going to look at the phone. We'll go back and forth. If you like it, we post it. If you don't, we just delete it. And I go, all right, cool. Let's do it. There's something people are used to seeing a phone and smiling and talking into it that doesn't work if it's a camera. I wouldn't do any of those things on a camera, on a professional camera. I don't think it would work. We did this because we think that's the way that people are used to consuming and taking this video.
Ask one last question. I know from my set workshop yesterday, there's some reporters. You've got a background as a reporter.
No, I don't.
I thought you did.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, but you can ask it, and I'll pretend.
No, I'm sorry. I thought you had a background as a reporter. I was going to say, a lot of folks aren't reporters, but those same kind of skills come to bear here. You're covering live things and sort of.
So I don't know that I'm good on camera, but I assume I'm good enough. And I was horrible the first time, I'm sure. And by the way, anytime you ever see me a video where it's just me, that was take 17. That wasn't take one. So the only advice I have, and that maybe I'm jumping your question,
no,
but get on camera, practice it. Get used to doing, if it makes sense for your company, the only reason that I'm on camera is because I'm the person who does social media. I was never the most qualified. I was the only person passionate about doing it. And our COO at the time said, sure, if you want to do it, do it. If you think that's what's best, go for it. So I'm lucky I had that support. So I know that not all of us have that same support. And like I said, it got better and better and better. And now we've created a system where I could have Derek Jeter come and I could quick take out my phone and like, Derek, you're going to do this quick interview. And he'll go, okay. And put my phone up and it, you know, works.
Cool. Well, the passion, the experience, and the importance of consistency and frequency and the why comes through. Big round of applause for Matt Kobach. Matt, thank you.
Thank you.